Hello, everyone, and welcome to the very first edition of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. I'm your host, Tyler Wall. As followers of Christ, we're called to place our ultimate trust and hope in God. But what does that look like in our day-to-day lives? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make straight your paths." My guest today is Andrew Warnes. Andrew is the associate minister at the Elman Hudson Church of Christ in Altus, Oklahoma, and he's also one of my good friends. And so I pray that you'll find this conversation helpful as we all navigate life with Jesus. Buckle up, everybody. This is Road Trips.
Thank you so much for having me, Tyler. It's an honor to be on here. I'm looking forward to our journey together. I'm going to go off script here for a moment and throw something on you. You've set the table here with Road Trips, and something that's very dear, very precious to my heart is the snacks you choose for a road trip. So, like, I got to know before we get started, before we start the engine, like, what's your go-to snack for a road trip, my guy?
Okay, so you know me, you and I meet up for coffee all the time. So some sort of coffee beverage, whether that's just, you know, pouring it in the Yeti from the pot, or that's, you know, stopping at a Starbucks, or depending on which way you're going, you're stopping at a Dutch Bros or a 7 Brew and you're getting a nice coffee. So we're going to go with some sort of coffee. We're going to go either peanut M&Ms, because when you put protein and chocolate together, it makes you feel better about yourself for eating chocolate. we'll go with those. Hey, what about you?
If you don't mind me going a little bit outside this too, like, we're turning off my microphone's rubbish, so we're turning off so that you don't hear a lot of kickback. But I was you know, admiring most of what you were saying from the quiet distance there for a little bit. But my go-to is honey mustard Snyder pretzels. And then if my wife and I are on holiday or on vacation together, if we're remotely near an Einstein's bagel, just because in little Altus, Oklahoma, there isn't one in sight, we have to have basically like 3/4 of the breakfast at Einstein Bagel. So we keep them in business throughout the year, and I think they appreciate us big time. But hey, that aside, thanks for having me, man. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll have to try. He said Einstein's bagel.
It's the best.
Okay. I'll have to try it. So I want to talk about trust. One of the things that I try to teach my youth group, and I know you probably do the same thing too, is kind of the why behind what we do as Christians. And something that I asked a lot of growing up was why? And it got me in trouble a time or two. But I want to start out by asking this question. In our day-to-day lives, why should we, as followers of Christ, trust God?
Okay, you threw this question to me, and I kind of, in my mind, I was able to frame it for two different responses that I think are kind of closely related. Because I think it is, like, it's foundational to the walk of, you know, a Christian. It's foundational to, like, living out our faith is, like, why? It's kind of like, if, you know, in a sort of silly, maybe offensive way to put it, it's like, what makes following God worth it? Like, why put in the effort? I think is kind of how you're framing the question. So I've got two answers here. The first one is definitely going to be the more, like, on the nose, like, less emotionally empathetic answer. And it's kind of one that I found helpful. If my Kindle's to be found trustworthy, I'm about 50 70% through this book called Salvation by Allegiance. And Dr., I believe his name is Matthew Bates, puts it this way. He makes the connection between our faith, our trust in God, as being something that's a lot more in line with allegiance to God rather than just this feeling, rather than this personal walk. And I say that just to say this is like at the end of the day, or maybe at the beginning of the day, whenever it comes to our faith, it kind of comes down to just this is like, what did I do whenever I submitted to God as my king? Whenever I said, Christ is my Lord, whenever I accepted his spirit into my life and accepted the responsibility to be conformed to his will, and the very, you know, Bible class answer, straight to the point, you know, no nuance, is just simply this is like, remember what you agreed. Like, yes, you agreed to a personal faith and a personal relationship with your creator, who is your father. But on a very basic sense, faith is pledging allegiance to God as king. It's saying, God, you're the one who I trust even whenever I don't know what's going on. It's even whenever I'm fearful, even whenever I'm scared, even whenever I'm I would prefer my methods. So that's kind of the first answer, is it's kind of the, you know, no two ways about it. It's just like, just remember from a very basic way, like, you agreed to put your faith and trust, and therefore your decision making, emotions aside, into what God has said is good and God has said is right. And so is there an emotional component to our relationship with God, our relationship with him? Absolutely. But ultimately, it's kind of a very basic sense saying, I will do what you tell me to do. And so why trust God? It's because that's what we agreed to, first off, right? And then secondly, the other way I answer this, and then you can kind of take over from there, is just kind of the more understanding, the more, cushioned answer, I suppose you could say, is that whenever you confess Jesus as Lord, whenever you put him on in baptism, whenever you said, I will follow him, unless you were kind of just emotionally stirred in like church camp or like in an emotional lesson you heard, typically you made a cognitive decision that in a sense said like, okay, my way doesn't cut it. Like I've gone my path before, and it's not leading me towards satisfaction. It's not taking me where I want to go to in life. And ultimately, it's not like it's the path has an end date. Like, it's not going to work in my favor if I just continue to trust me. I have found me untrustworthy as a God, as a king, as a leader in my life. And so in that sense, just kind of go back to cognitively speaking, go back to the beginning. You agreed, first off, that God is in charge. And secondly, you also acknowledge that I'm not trustworthy in my way. Even on my best days, I'm not someone in my path and my ways are not trustworthy, are not worthy to be followed. So I hope that answered the question initially from the ground up for you.
Yeah. So essentially, the two things that I kind of got from that were, remember who you're pledging allegiance to, remember, quote unquote, what you signed up for. And the flip side of that is, remember who you died to, which is yourself. Remember that you cannot do this life. You cannot do this walk, this journey. You cannot do this on your own, because when you try to rely on your own power and not the spirits that's been given to us, then that never works out for us. And I know you and I have probably been through times in my life. I've been through times in my life when I have lived that way. And you look back, and I've looked back, and I've thought to myself, man, that never worked out. That never worked out for me to rely on my own power, my own strength. But it always works out when I do put my trust in God, when we do put our trust in God.
That's perfect. That's perfect. That's kind of, I mean, for me, we're talking about like not just what to tell to your listeners, but also to tell to us. It is that very firm and unpleasant reality that we need to acknowledge, like, hey, like, guess what? I can't do it. And so if nothing else, I remember why I need Jesus in my life. And again, this is kind of, we're starting clearly at the, on the, you know, the foundational things here. I think most of us understands that we know what God, what Christ has done for us, what the Spirit does for us. And we acknowledge that even whenever we struggle with our trust. But if we're just talking about, you know, laying the foundation here, it's simply remember those two important truths as we continue forward.
Yeah, so I kind of want to transition into what we're talking about specifically today, which is trusting God in the day-to-day life. Because most of the time, our days are filled with very mundane things. We go to work, we go to school, we go get groceries, we go pick up dinner or lunch or whatever that is. And so we tend to think of trust as something that we do when we have a big decision to make, or when we're going through these big trials, or when we have something that's very heavy on our minds. And so we say, okay, well, I'm going to trust God, and that's a good thing. We should do that. But what about those mundane days? What about those days that not much really happens? It's just another ordinary day. Is there ever a time that we don't need to trust God?
Yeah, that's a good question. I like the way we framed it. So whenever we first, you shot me some notes on this discussion, on this question, and I liked it because it was something I talked about with my youth group on Sunday. And it was kind of the idea of, okay, like, am I glorifying God? Am I worshiping God? Am I trusting God when I'm going to the supermarket? When I'm buying a head of cabbage, you know, I told this to my kids, like, okay, am I glorifying God? Am I trusting God whenever I'm sneezing or whenever I'm, you know, blowing my nose? And it's a silly way to put it. But, you know, we think about passages like Romans 12:1, which says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And so we think about passages like this and we say kind of this is like our lives and what we do from the day to day is in and of itself worship to God. It is glory to God. And you could say by extension, it is trusting in God with that. And so like, where is that? Like, is that in every single day? Is that in every single action? And one of the ways I kind of want to frame this just for me, as we're discussing this, is I go back to an event I took part of whenever I was recently out of college. I was helping out at Bear Valley for their youth rally, and Joe Wells came out and he had the prompt for the weekends, like, what is this generation doing right? And I know that, you know, that was like 10 years ago. So it's been a moment since that generation is where it is. But, you know, like, you know, our generation being roughly those in youth groups now to, you know, me holding on in my 30s, you know, like within that range, like, okay, like what is something that's valuable, important to them, that's admirable? And he pinpointed, you know, people in this generation, these generations love activism. They love activism for things that they're passionate about. You know, he brought up the idea of, you know, climate control and all that stuff as being areas that they're passionate about. But the point he was taking away is your generation is really on fire for doing something with their life, for being part of something more, for being passionate about something. And I kind of want to take that and prompt that towards the discussion here is like, how can I do it in my day to day? And the passage I discussed with my kids was in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23, where Jesus is kind of talking about the day to day. He's talking about a day where they would bring sacrifices, things that you would think of as acts of trust, as acts of worship. And he's, you know, he says, you know, if you're doing that and you're prompted by your conscience and you know that you have a fallout with a brother or sister, he says, like, literally stop worship and go and push yourself towards actively reconciling with your brother. And I know your question here isn't necessarily in regards to, do we get along with brothers and sisters in Christ? But it was more this idea of like, what is at the heart of what Jesus wants? the heart of this question is like, is every action going to be trust in God? Is every day going to be one of those big moments that really tries my faith? Is every, you know, trip to the supermarket, is that some glorification of God? And it's like, we understand, no, it's not. But Jesus shows here that worship is, trusting God is like in your life, in the day to day, it's being active instead of passive. It's being like, hey, I acknowledge where I'm at, what I can take ownership of in my day to day life, in my faith. And, you know, for what Jesus is trying to stir his listeners towards is kind of that activism. It's kind of that passion. It's saying basically what I am and what I can take ownership of in my faith is my relationships. It's in the areas of the people in my life that I actually can connect with. It's in the people that I must serve. It's in my diligence to worship my God. It's in my diligence to take ownership of my failures. You know, that's not to say like, you know, we overcome our sins or our temptations by our strength alone, but the best way I know how to answer this, and I'll let you either ask more questions or segue into something else here in a moment, but the best way I know how to answer this question is, sure, not every single act is an act of worship, is an act of trusting God in the day to day, but every single day I have the opportunity to be active in my faith and to realize, to analyze, to see where am I at, how am I at with the things that matter the most to God, with my relationship to others, with my service to his world, with my proclamation of his good word. And it's finding opportunities in my life, in the middle of the day-to-day items, that I can glorify God. So I hope that answers, and you let me know if that didn't quite answer your question.
Yeah, not even close. No, I'm just kidding. I think the two words that stand out to me from what you were saying is presence and intentionality. And I know how you feel about intentionality.
I'm gonna risk an echo to say nice one, nice one.
Thank you, appreciate that. But you're saying kind of being aware, being active in our faith, at least acknowledging what can bring God glory in the day to day, right? And intentionally looking for those moments. Okay, our lives, even if you took away the typical social media, our phones, electronics, even if you took those things away, there are still so many opportunities and so many times when we can say, you know what, I'm just going to forget about God a little bit. I'm just going to not, like you were saying, I'm just going to be a little passive about it. And I'm just going to say, I've got a lot that I need to get done. I'm going to put the blinders on and I'm just going to focus on that. And I'm just going to say, okay, I'm going to put God kind of on the back burner here. I'm not going to be aware. I'm not going to be present. I'm not going to be intentionally looking for ways to glorify God.
Sorry, I didn't have much more to add, but just, yeah, sounds great, man. Sounds great. You did a great summary there.
Thank you. Appreciate that. So I kind of want to segue into a little bit of what we were just talking about, and that is kind of this idea of distractions and things that can pull us away from trusting God and ultimately can cause us to put our trust in other things besides God, which is not where we want to end up. So let me just ask you this. Why do you think it's difficult to place our trust in God above all the things that this world has to offer?
Alrighty, so we're going to sound a little bit like a broken record here, but I feel like as I was thinking about this question, there were kind of three central ideas that come to mind. The first one is just that area you just summarized, which is passivity. It's just being passive in my faith. It's just kind of being disinterested. It's kind of the cliche of you go to a church camp or you go to some huge spiritual, emotional experience, and you feel the presence of God, you feel the stirring of his spirit, and then you kind of go to a mundane life and just things become mundane. Like, that's just it. Like, they're just, things become very regular, very fast. And every single follower of Christ, I think, is a little surprised at how quickly either one, how quickly like life gets regular, or two, how easily they get swayed into the mundane and just kind of take the pedal off and just, you know, kind of get used to it. So passivity, I think, is a big one. And I would say that those kind of come about for a few different reasons. If you're sticking specifically with your question here on trust, a very big generalized way to put it, I think, is that, you know, we seek immediate stability in our life. Like, it's like we kind of want immediate results and like what we can control. And so, you know, if it's as simple as, you know, like I stop going to church or I stop praying, it's kind of like, yeah, I can't, like, I know those are good things for me in the long run. But ultimately it's kind of just like, well, I'll get to that someday. Right now I'm going to control what I can control. It's kind of no different than me whenever I'm like, ooh, like I need to eat better, but like, this is just, isn't the time right now. And I'm just going to go through, you know, Arby's for one more, you know, meal and be like, I'll control that later. And it's like, right now we just kind of want to stick with what we can control. We push God off and our passion for him and our relationship with him off as much as we can. I would say that that's pretty big. I'd say another big reason, and this is a different subject, so I won't touch on it too much. But I would say, so it's discouragement, right? It's typically like, in some regards, maybe it's me painting that picture of just mundane spirituality or church going. It's like, man, like I used to, you know, like I was really on fire at one place and then I go to church and like everyone else is just like going about it in their way, like going about it, like you barely, you know, interacting at church, you know, maybe Bible classes aren't hit the way that you thought they were. Maybe it's like you don't see other people mimicking it or demonstrating it for you in the way you'd want. And so it's very easy to be discouraged and to feel self like soothing about the matter. Like, hey, like I can get over doing my responsibility, taking ownership in what I should be active in whenever I see other people not doing it. And so it's just like easy to, I don't know, it's just like easy to like get me off the hook with that. And so I know that those are a couple different things, but I would say whatever it is, there's like, maybe life's just too busy, right? Maybe I just seek escapism. Maybe it's just that I've gotten tired. Maybe it's just that I'm harboring, you know, secret sin in my life, and I'm just, it's easier to cut off. But whatever it is, it's usually it results in passivity. Whatever the discouragement is, whatever the stability I'm seeking for in other areas of my life, it always results in being passive and just not taking ownership in the things that I can take ownership in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the two things that I got out of what you were saying there is, one, especially with people my age in their 20s, we want things, or at least I want things in my life that I can hold on to that I know will be there 10 years down the road. Because when you're this age, everything else seems unpredictable, and our faith can be unpredictable. Jesus never promised a life that was comfortable and easy. And when we do surrender and when we do place our trust in God, that does not guarantee that everything will turn out okay here on earth. In fact, we're kind of promised the opposite. And so it can be, like you, to your point, it can be very tempting to place our trust and our hope in something that feels a little more predictable, that feels a little more stable. Well, maybe if I get this job that I know I can be at in 5 years, maybe if I can just hang on to this relationship or this friendship that I know I'll have in 5 years, okay, or 10 years or whatever, well, then maybe I can feel a little more secure in my life. Because to your point, we want that. We want security. We want things that we can hold on to. And then the other thing that you were talking about was something that I hadn't even thought about in this discussion. And that is our trust in God can be hindered when we lose trust in other people. And especially guys like you and I, who are very much people, who love people, who love being around people, who enjoy people's company. When people disappoint us, when people discourage us, that can hinder how we view God. It's like, well, okay, well, I can't place my trust in someone else. Man, can I really place my trust in God? Can I really trust in God who I can't physically see, but I saw this Christian, this person who I'm going to church with, I saw them be rude. I saw them not reach out when I needed them. And so those two things, I really appreciate you bringing up.
Thanks, man. Yeah. I mean, I think that is like people naturally follow and gravitate towards what they see exemplified in their life. And that is a good quality. And it's kind of like anything. It's like a strength, but it's also like, we can't let that be a crutch for the basic fact that is, again, going back, like I said, kind of stripped of any sort of like comfort or cushion. It's just like, hey, this isn't between you and people. This is, if in my life, in my drive, using your lingo, in all of this, it's me saying, I have accepted to go with my God and go where he has taken me. And that is, I would love it for each and every one of us if that was in partnership with other people who exemplify it likewise. But the fact of the matter is I don't always exemplify it very well. I'm sometimes dispassionate. And so I just need to always frame it with the mindset of, this is between me and God, and what I have chosen to do, which is I have chosen to say, your way is my way, no matter what others say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we'd be a bit remiss if we didn't bring up in discussion with distractions and hanging on to other things and things that maybe we can control, if we didn't talk a little bit about social media, because our social media accounts, we get to create that perfect image of who we want others to perceive us. And if we can control that, if we can control how we're viewed online, well, then maybe that can give me a sense of security. Maybe that can give me a sense of, okay, I'm okay if other people can validate me, if other people can see what I'm up to, can see that perfect picture, can see that perfect family, well, then that'll give me a little stability. I know that's a little off track, but do you agree with that? Do you see kind of where I'm going with that?
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, like, I'm no different than even, you know, teenagers right now who are struggling with social media. And I think it's for the age group that you kind of have penciled in here, like what the target audience is like our, and we kind of work as kind of a reasonable age group of, like, my generation was kind of the first generation of, like, introducing, like, you know, I wasn't allowed to have MySpace, but, you know, it's like Facebook, like, that was where it started. And then it's still going down, and you see the ramifications, and you kind of see how, you know, not to condense, because kind of to your point, like, or what you've prompted, like, I think a lot of people like to get feedback or to get approval from others, stability from others on social media, no matter who they are. But the fact of the matter is if you look at it statistically, women do need, girls do want, and they go and they run to social media for approval, for, and they follow people of prestige for a specific reason, because, like, they get that emotional fix. It's that stability. It's that grounding nature of the beast of social media, which, again, has strengths. I have most social media deals. I'm not here saying all of it's bad, but just, we know the pitfalls. And then men do typically, again, they need approval too. They like seeing those in high prestige and getting either their approval or mimicking them for their own life and saying that's the standard. But typically, it's like guys run to social media and outlets like that for escapism, for just tuning out the responsibilities of their life. And there's a clear connection. I'm reading a book called The Anxious Generation, how men have just inherently in the last several generations have become a lot less productive in their own life because, you know, not all of it, but like it's because of the social media world. Even if it's not all social media, it's like the social media world. We run to these areas, to things men typically to just like unplug from my responsibilities. And to kind of our discussion here at hand, social media, online living kind of does work as that like grounding stability for us that's often damaging because we put emotionally our trust in these things, whether it's because, again, we feel like we get validation or it's because we just run away from our responsibilities. We're getting very passive, or it's easy to get very passive in not just our faith, but also in a lot of different areas of our life because that has become what we trusted. I mean, I guess that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of want to transition into some these last couple questions into some things that we can do to actively put our trust in God. So I want to start out by asking, in your own life, what has helped you maintain a trust in God ultimately above all else?
Sorry, there, I couldn't press the mute button fast enough. So that's a good question. It is kind of a big question with maybe broad answers. And if you need some specifics, I'd be happy to. But I was thinking about this question, and I feel like part of it is just kind of this truth that, yes, I have submitted to Jesus as king. And I said, like, he's in charge no matter what, no matter what day I'm like, what the day is like, even if I'm feeling discouraged, even if I'm feeling the mundanity of life, I still do what he says. But there is a change of mind, or there's a change of ambition whenever you realize that what God has called for us to do and what he's called for his people to do is to be in partnership with him. And that helps us, I think, be active in our life is just to say like, hey, like, yes, God is saying submit to my way, but he isn't in like he there is a way to teach it like a child, which is like, do what I tell you to do. And that is necessary for us in certain areas of our life. But Jesus is really inviting his people as he invited his followers, his disciples at the time to like, hey, be a part of what I'm doing in the world. Be a part of the good. Be a part of what there is that's expected for us that brings about his life, his will, his good creation to this world. So I know that that's kind of a generic, almost churchy way to put it, but it does help, I think, first off with your mindset whenever I understand, yes, maybe no one else is doing this. Yes, maybe I know I have a lot of responsibilities. And yes, maybe I'm just sort of at a place in my life where I'm not seeing the like stirring emotional passion that I do in other areas of my life. However, I'm still invited to partner with God where I am, with him as king, showing to others that he is keen likewise. So again, that's pretty generic. But then from there, I think for me, there's always this, the hardest decision is being honest with myself. And I know me better than anybody else. As Andy Stanley puts it, like no one can lie to me better than me. And it requires me to be honest. Like, okay, Andrew, like, you're kind of being passive. Like, you know, for me during the summer in between, you know, different youth responsibilities as Tyler, I'm sure you well know, like there's just time where you just like want to unplug. Like, and that's not a bad thing, right? Like we need it. There's part of like vacation. There's part of holiday. There's part of rest that's needed. But I see and I sense in my life, hey, you are just at that point where you are willingly disconnecting from your responsibilities, from where you need to take ownership with it. And like, it's so easy, again, using our discussion on social media, like it's so easy to run towards things just to like cover up our emotional feelings right then, just to escape, just to get away from it. But I'm good. I am the best at saying, Andrew, you know, you are going down a path that's just you disconnecting from your responsibilities. So be honest with yourself and say, am I just running away from what God has invited me to do with him in my life? And then we have to answer that honestly. And then we kind of need to just, there's a better way to put it, but like, it goes back to that discussion on activism. It's like, I need to find the passion to follow where God has called for me to go. So I know I'm using broad examples here, but it's kind of those three things. They're more mind frames, but it's kind of like, okay, like, start off, know what God has called for you to do. Know the purpose that he has for you. Secondly, it's being honest with yourself. It's answering, and then it's like acting on it. And it's like saying like, hey, you know, go read your Bible like you know you're supposed to do. Go and be involved with people of faith communities the way you've been called to do. And I know that that's hard for some of us. I think we're kind of talking about or to people in between our generations who are maybe struggling because maybe they don't have a community of faith. But you have someone that you can call to and just be honest and transparent with. You can be active. You can be proactive. You can take ownership with your faith and go back to those areas that you know maybe don't get you out of a funk, but at the very least get you back on what your responsibilities that God has called for you to.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And I think it may go back to kind of this idea of what we were talking about there at the beginning of intentionality and presence. Okay. You're aware of God's presence. You're aware of where you're at and asking to your point, asking, okay, am I placing my trust in God? And if not, what do I need to do about that to where I am placing my trust in God? So I really appreciate that. And I kind of want to ask you this last question, kind of something along those lines. We talked about what you do in your own life, but what are some things, what are some practical ways that we can place our trust in God above all else in our day-to-day lives?
Again, I keep pressing that mute button and it keeps taking its precious time. So I am going to sound a little bit like a broken record. I wish I didn't have that, but I would say it kind of goes back to cognitive decisions first. It's analyzing, it's being honest with yourself. It's saying, where am I at and what are my excuses for not stepping to where God has called for me to? And I, you know, I think that it's been easy to just always say like, are you having a Bible study? Are you the one leading all these things? We understand. I think we all understand Ephesians chapter 4 that like, you know, there's different roles, right? Like just because you don't feel particularly good at a certain role within the church or serving in a certain capacity, you know, it's like, don't tear yourself down for just not having strengths of other people. But it is saying like, what are my excuses for not serving? What are my excuses for not taking responsibility? What are my excuses for not being a partner with my God who I have submitted to as my king? It's answering those questions. So it's very cognitive. Again, it's just realizing and reaffirming like, what has God called for me to do? Again, to my point, it's asking someone. It's being, I like using this example because in ministry, I'm always like refreshed by people, whatever area of life, but I've started to sense it really in people in my age bracket who still do, you know, like they're still kind of younger, but also they do have a lot of responsibilities, whether it be with their family, maybe they're done with college, but you know, they've got like kids or something. And yet they reach out to me and they say, hey, I don't know what to do. I'm not particularly good at leading a Bible class or whatever area, but they're like, hey, but I want to serve. How can I serve? You know, in my area, it's like youth group, but like in any area, it's like saying like, hey, is there someone in need? Because I just want to serve. I want to serve what God is doing. So it's looking at it. It's trying your best to be honest with yourself and get rid of the excuses you have, and it's just pursuing. And I keep giving this, like, I don't know, this, you know, little statement. Like, I know none of us, all of us know that we are not saved by works. I'm not here saying that God is, like, we're the ones who have to do everything ourselves, but it is just pursuing, like, what is God doing, whether it be in my local congregation or in this world, and how can I be a part of it? It's taking that ownership. It's stopping, you know, your service at the altar, your sacrifice, and saying, like, what was it that I was supposed to be doing here in my life, in my relationships, in my service, in my responsibility to my God. And again, talking to people, it's saying, like, it's reaching out to someone if you are struggling, if you are going through a tough time. Being honest, being transparent, I think does a lot of the heavy lifting in the right context. So those might be a few things to get started with. Are there any you think we should add, or any other further questions you have?
Yeah, I really like what you said there. And I think maybe where you were getting out, and I could be wrong, is do things in everyday life that maybe require you to say, okay, I can't put my trust in myself right here. I have to put my trust in God, or else this this isn't going to go very well for me. Like, you know, signing up for the Bible study, or leading the Bible study, or serving your church in some capacity, or signing up for, you know, the mission trip, or whatever it is. And maybe it's not even those bigger things like that. Maybe it's just having a conversation with a stranger, or maybe it's bringing a meal to someone. That can be scary. That can be a big leap of trust. But maybe doing those things in the day to day can help us say, okay, I'm gonna take this risk, but I can't do this without placing my trust in God.
So I would say you summarized it well, and you like elaborated it way better than I ever could. So that's a perfect way to put it, man. It's just finding those pockets of my life of, hey, you know, I've held this back. I've held back my responsibility, and now I'm just seeking to be a partner with God wherever that takes me. So I think you summarized it well.
Well, Andrew, I really appreciate you coming on, and I really loved our discussion. And yeah, thank you for being the guinea pig. Thanks for being the first interviewee on Road Trips.
Man, you're the one who like went out on a limb here. So we're on this three-wheeled car together, my guy. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's all about trust. thank you. Hey, and thank you everybody for listening to the very first episode of Road Trips. As you take the road trip of life, be sure to keep your focus and your trust ultimately on God. We'll see you down the road.